A pastor without a pastor's heart will kill the congregation. Let's talk about it on Key Life.
Hello, I'm Mike Kellogg, and this is Key Life, a program designed to tell Christians that God isn't mad at them. Bible teaching to help get you home. Here's Steve.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the Book of Lamentations. We're going to be spending this week, next week, and maybe one more week. This is a fairly small book. It's only five chapters. So we're not going to spend a long time on it, certainly not as long as we did on Isaiah. And then we're going to move, after we do a couple of weeks in Lamentations, we're going to move on to the book of Ezekiel. And that is a fun book to teach and to read. I almost want to just jump over Lamentations because this is so sad. Lamentations is such a book filled with so much pathos that I want to get over to Ezekiel a little bit quicker. But we're going to take the time, and you'll be better for it, staying in Lamentations. Now, if you were, we've talked about, I've given you the exegetical notes about when it was written and who wrote it, probably Jeremiah. And then I said yesterday that there are two great things that are missing from the book of Jeremiah. And the first is, and that's what we talked about yesterday, is that in no place, not the book of Jeremiah, the book of Lamentations, but because I believe they were written by the same person, it was not a horrible mistake. But in the book of Lamentations, there is not one single time when Jeremiah said, "Ha, I told you so, you didn't listen to me. I mean, you did all this bad stuff to me. You didn't listen. If you had listened, you wouldn't be where you are." You don't get a bit of that. I think that says a lot of really good things about Jeremiah. He never says, "I told you so." And I believe that one of the marks of Christian maturity is the compassion and the pain that we feel for those that maybe we've even admonished. Who get into trouble when they don't. You know, I felt that way as a pastor. When I was a pastor, you know, I used to say from the pulpit, "I'm not your mother. My ministry philosophy is you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone." But I didn't believe that for a minute. I mean, I stayed awake at night worried about people that I loved a lot. And sometimes they do stuff. And I didn't separate myself from them. I did stuff too. But, I mean, they do stuff and I'd say, "You can't do that. If you do that, you're going to get in such trouble." Sometimes I felt like I was standing by a cliff. I'd say, "Don't get so close to that. You're going to fall." I've seen people go over the side of that cliff. And they'd say, "Oh, you're so wise. Thank you, Pastor." And then they'd jump. And then the next person will come on and say, "Look, don't get there. Don't dance so close to that cliff because you're going to get hurt. Look down there. Last guy that was up there got bloodied." And they'll say, "Oh, Steve, you're so kind and thoughtful to be honest with me." They jump. Sometimes I go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm tired of standing by this cliff. I keep telling them they keep jumping and they keep getting hurt. And I love these people. I don't want to do that." And he says something in Hebrew like, "Keep on trucking," or "Stay there. You're supposed to do that." But I never, boy, this is God's grace. Even when I would look down, I would see the pain that would follow the stuff. I wept often with those people. And that brings me to the second absence that you'll find in this book. There's not an "I told you so." And listen, Jeremiah had every right to say, "I told you so." I mean, these people did bad stuff to him. Everything he said, they laughed at him and turned away from it and did the opposite. I mean, at least they were nice to me. They weren't even nice to Jeremiah. He could have had some righteous indignation here, but there's not a bit of it going on. Let me tell you something that's even another absence that you find in the book of Lamentation. Please note that Jeremiah may be the only person in Judah who was faithful and pure, but he does not talk of himself as faithful and pure. He associates with the sin of his people. Now, if you have your Bible there, and if you're driving, you keep your eyes on the road. You're not that good a driver, frankly, and you scare me to death sometimes. But look at the third chapter of Jeremiah. I want to show you something that is so, the third chapter of Lamentations. I've got to quit substituting those names. But the third chapter of Lamentations. Now, this is Jeremiah speaking. And you got to remember, he's not only not self-righteous. Listen to his cry of despair. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and made me walk. Wait. You're in Judah. What do you mean you? In darkness and not in light. Surely he has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. He has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. He has besieged me. He has surrounded me with bitterness and woe. He has set me in dark places. Now, go down to the 40th. I got to flip over the page in my Bible here to the 40th verse. Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Let us. That's been so easy for Jeremiah to say, let you. He doesn't do that. Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven. We have transgressed and rebelled, and you have not pardoned. We, our, over and over again in the book of Lamentations. What does that say to you? That says to me first that you've got a pastor with a pastor's heart who's not going to kill his people. I mean, he's so a part of God's people. But even though he was faithful, even though he was obedient, he associates with the sin of his people. And I would go even further in talking about Jeremiah. Jeremiah not only associated with their sin, he knew in his heart of hearts that he wasn't altogether that pure. He knew also that he was a sinner. He knew also that he had failed. He knew also the times when he wanted to run from God and when he pleaded with God to let him off the hook and God wouldn't let him. He knew that he had not wanted to be obedient. And so when he identified with God's people, he was a part of the repentance to which he called them. My friend, the late Jack Miller, used to say, and if you're a pastor, listen up to this, used to say that the most repentant person in the congregation ought to be the pastor. I may have told you this story, but I went to my daughter and son-in-law's little church in Birmingham a few years ago, and the pastor there was, I liked him. And there was real life in that church, but I didn't understand it, where it was coming from. And it's a great little church, Altadena, and they didn't have a processional. They had kind of an amble. The choir is sort of filled up as things went along. There'd be a guy playing a guitar, and there'd be two in the choir, and then after a while, six. And after a while, I thought, you know, there's life here, but man, it's sure isn't organized. And then the pastor got out. His name was Johnny, and he got up and started to preach, and boy, he was preaching against sin, and I thought, I've got to get under this. I mean, I'm under conviction so bad, I've got to get under the pew. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, this is condemnation. It's not going to bring life. But there's life here, and I don't know where it comes from. And then in the middle of his sermon, you know what happened? He started weeping. Blew me away. I looked up and thought, And he said, you know what God just said to me? This is him talking to his congregation. You know what God just said to me? He said, I was more guilty of these things I've been talking to you about than anybody in this congregation. Then I knew the source of the life. Then I understood. Jeremiah would have understood that. You know, if you got a teacher or a pastor or a priest or a Sunday school teacher who's really arrogant and speak from Sinai, and when they speak about sin, they speak like, you know, I don't know anything about this, but I'm speaking, this is hearsay, but I understand that sin can be a bad thing in your life. Let me tell you something, you go some other place. Don't you buy a used car from that person, because real power and real life comes from the association and the repentance that should flow from any leader that God calls for the congregation. That's what it means to have a pastor's heart. And pastors, without a pastor's heart, can kill off the congregation. Now what I want to do, I just have time today to introduce this, and we'll talk tomorrow. Pete will be in, and we'll answer some questions. But next Monday, I'll get into this more in detail. But I want to look at some of the major themes in the Book of Lamentations. And the first theme I want you to see, and I'm just going to kind of bring it up today, but I want you to see it, is the power of God and the control of God in every bad thing that is happening referred to in the Book of Lamentations. If you have your Bible there, look at the second chapter of Lamentations. Now, listen to what Jeremiah writes. How the Lord has covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud of his anger. Who did it? God did it. He cast down from heaven to the earth the beauty of Israel and did not remember his footstool in the day of his anger. Wait. Who did it? God did it. The Lord has swallowed up and has not shown pity on us. All the inhabitants of Judah, he has thrown down in his wrath. Now, we're going to talk more about this next week, but right there, if somebody's done something really bad to you and you're ticked, don't be so angry at them. You go to God because he's sovereign over those circumstances. If you've got to complain to him. And when you do, I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll love you. He won't be angry, but he will be in control. You think about that. I'm in. Hey, listen, if you're not a part of our tape family, I'd love you to be a part of it. We send out tapes free every 7 or 8 weeks, and you get them automatically. They keep coming as long as you want them. Now, these are not the tapes of the broadcast. You can subscribe to those. These are tapes of places where I teach the Bible at Reformed Seminary, at the Cove, at Lake Barkley Fellowship, at other places. We send that out to our family, and you get a tape about every 8 weeks, and they're absolutely free, and they keep coming as long as you want them or until I die. If you'd like to be a part of this family, give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day, or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Mayland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org, and they are free. And listen, if you can help us financially, man, I would be so thankful. You help us. You help thousands of your brothers and sisters in Christ who can't afford to help us. You can charge on a MasterCard, Visa, Discover card included in your envelope. And for any contribution of any size, we'll send you as our thank you when you request it. The cassette teaching how to know that you know him. If you're struggling with doubt, this will help. Gotta go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.